It's great to have you along today, and I want to start this broadcast by saying that I do not assume that only Christians and other people familiar with the Bible are listening to me. I know many Christians are listening, and I am very grateful for each one of you. But from the beginning, I have always desired a broader group of listeners that includes some of you who are not at all familiar with the Bible. You're more than welcome here, and I hope you will also invite along others who listen in as well. Because of this, I also do not assume that everyone listening has a Bible, but since the Bible is my source for telling you who God is, then I want to start today with a little instruction on logistics for you who do not own an actual Bible. So please be patient here at the start if you've already got the scriptures open on a table in front of you with your coffee or tea. What do you do if you do not own a Bible? Well, let me ask, do you have access to the internet at home or on a mobile device such as a phone or in a public place like a library? There are many good Bible apps available. If you do not have a Bible, or if you have no idea what an app actually is, but have access to the internet, just go to this website, www.biblegateway.com. BibleGateway.com, and insert the passage that we will read in the box marked Enter Keyword Passage or Topic. In the drop-down box next to it, choose New American Standard Bible, NASB. That is the version I read from on this broadcast. So go to BibleGateway.com, insert the passage in the box marked Enter Keyword Passage or Topic, and then in the drop-down box next to it, choose New American Standard Bible. So right now, for example, go to that site and type in Exodus 20, E-X-O-D-U-S 20-2-0. I hope you got it. Now, in a few minutes, you'll understand why this is important. If you're unable to do that now, say you're driving, look at the text later. Maybe you download this podcast and re-listen so that you can read along with it soon. Of course, I highly recommend you buy a Bible and have it open each day together when we meet, and I'll leave you some recommendations on my social sites. Now let's continue as I remind you that we're focused on the name God in Genesis 1, verse 1. And now we know that the name in Hebrew is Elohim. Elohim, and we've said that it means the greatest God of all. And we have established that Elohim is one God. And yet, as this very name suggests, the only God deals practically with the reality that people worship all sorts of false gods, illegitimate gods. As we talked about yesterday, the one God deals with the people in the world as he finds us. And we, the people, as it turns out, believe there are many more than just this one God. Some include Elohim as a God, but think of him as one of many. Others totally reject Elohim and make up their own God or gods to worship, to pray to, and to receive favor from. I spoke with you yesterday about Hinduism, Buddhism, and the gods of the ancient Greco-Roman world, and then some of the gods people worship today like other people. Think social media and athletes. And product, think of all the time and money that goes into buying things you don't even need. And power. Think politics and power struggles in business, families, and academic institutions. All of this is a reflection of making gods of ourselves. So that in the historical context, and in the world in which we live today, the one true God cannot ignore the many false gods that men and women and children embrace and celebrate. Elohim is practical and pragmatic. He answers our ignorance and our arrogance. And how does he do this? Well, we're going to watch Elohim in action. Let's spend the rest of this week out of Genesis 1 and fast forward in the text to some other Old Testament passages. I want to take us to these other Old Testament books this week. Exodus, Deuteronomy, and 1 Kings. Exodus, Deuteronomy, and 1 Kings. Now, this will work best, and you will follow along most closely if you turn with me in your Bible to these passages and read them as well. That's why I started out today the way I did. So now we are prepared for Exodus 20. Perhaps you're at BibleGateway.com. You've typed in Exodus 20 in the box at the top of the website. Good. Now let me give you a little context. Here, God is communicating to Moses, and we've already identified Moses as the writer of Genesis. And I told you that God communicated frequently with his servant Moses. In this chapter, God is very specific with his instruction. Elohim invites Moses to come up to a mountain called Mount Sinai, otherwise known as Mount Horeb. Moses hiked up. Once there, Exodus 20, verse 1 starts, "Then God spoke all these words, saying, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them.'" Many of you will recognize this as the start of the Ten Commandments God gives to Moses. I encourage you to keep reading all the way down to the end of verse 17. But I've paused in the middle of verse 5 because I want you to notice the first two of the Ten Commandments. Do you see what they are? Did you notice what God starts with? He begins by commanding his first followers not to worship any other gods. And then in the second command, he adds that they must not make, worship, and serve idols. According to Elohim, the one true God, his people are not to have any other gods, nor are they to make or craft idols that they would then worship. No idol making, no idolatry. Why? Well, of course, because there are no other gods. The Lord your God, verse 2, knows he is the only God. So he's warning against a completely foolish practice. Since no other gods exist, why would anyone with any measure of intelligence then dream up a god and make and bow before an idol? God says, "I am God, there is no other." But secondly, Elohim correctly anticipates the worship of false gods. He is all-knowing, and so he knows these very people are going to encounter these supposed gods, and he knows they will learn from other peoples how to make and worship idols. So God is setting them up for success by telling them plainly and clearly, in language and by action they understand, do not fall for it. There are no other gods. Idols made to represent other gods are useless and completely ineffective. Why? Because the only God is me, Elohim. I am he. The Ten Commandments, just like every command that Elohim gives us, are for our good. Now, I know that when you introduce the idea of God giving commands into a conversation today, most people will flat out reject the wisdom of the command, even if they were to accept that there is a God who is commanding. So let's assume that we were able to get agreement that the one true God of the Bible exists. Then a majority of people within the culture want to argue against any type of binding commandment that God gives to them. Commands, especially ones given as far back as these in Exodus 20, are received as being too strict, too demanding, too impossible to keep, and just too darn judgmental. I've literally had people say to me, "Come on, this is impossible. If I kept all of these, life would be no fun." And so rather than these commands being received as good for us, as given for our safety and joy and well-being in life, they are for the most part rejected as out of date, restrictive, and actually bad for us. There's not even any tolerance for having them listed in public places anymore in America. God is seen as a killjoy. And who does this God think he is that he can tell me how to live my life? And so, as I suggested yesterday, Elohim is dismissed, and people make gods of themselves. They make idols of one another and flat out make up deities that live in some kind of other world but visit us on circumstance to bless or to curse, as the case may be. What? And yet this is so prevalent. And of course, it isn't like this just started. In fact, idolatry is as old as very soon after God gave Moses these commands. Now, tomorrow, we're going to move swiftly across the chronology of the Old Testament and find out if these people listened to God. Did they listen? You'll have to come back tomorrow to find out. Bring your Bibles right up to the radio with you, reread what we read today, and then tomorrow we'll follow the story further along and find out how the people of God responded to God. If you want to read ahead, that's a great idea. I love it. In fact, you will be a more fruitful learner tomorrow if you get your Bible and go to 1 Kings. You can find out where that is by using the table of contents right at the front of the Bible. Once you find 1 Kings, then go to chapter 16 and begin reading at verse 29. And then read all the way from 1 Kings 16:29 to the end of chapter 18. 1 Kings 16, verse 29, all the way to 1 Kings 18, verse 46. Now, I have said a lot today, and I just want to remind you how to get in touch with me in case you have a question or a comment. My personal email is mark, M-A-R-K, at markaswallow.com. So it's mark, M-A-R-K, at markaswallow.com. Mark at markaswallow.com. Karen will remind you of this in a moment. Write to me and ask your question, please, and engage me in this conversation. I'd love it. And then tune in tomorrow as we continue to learn that God is one.